Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, this is both a pernicious and pervasive issue, and I think it's one that affects all of us. This relentless daily surge of spam phone calls. Despite existing regulations, these unsolicited calls continue to disrupt our daily lives. It raises questions about the effectiveness of current laws and the measures that are needed, or new measures that are needed, to protect consumers. And someone who's done some writing and some work in the space is financial writer and PR strategist Nicola Mawson, who joins me on the program tonight. Nicola, despite existing regulations, good evening to you. Don't need to tell you that spam phone calls remain a bane of all of our lives. Have current laws, do you think, failed to curb the issue effectively?
Yeah, good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for the chat, and hi to all the listeners. I didn't go into as much detail as I would have liked in my business report column yesterday, but it's clear that government already doesn't have enough capacity to police existing law. For example, I sent a complaint to the information regulator, which handles POPIA, in August 2022. 2 weeks later, they acknowledged receipt. The letter they sent did say that I'd not provided enough information, but I had sent screenshots of a plethora of spam as well as numbers. And that was the last I heard from them. And then we go back to 2013, and the National Consumer Commission, which handles the National Consumer Act, said it hoped to have a national DNC, or do not contact registry, for direct marketing in place in 4 months. That was in November of that year. It's 21 years later, and now something seems to be finally happening. So we all know that spam calls have increased dramatically, and the Department of Trade and Industry actually admitted as much in its call for comment to basically implement a DNC under the auspices of the National Consumer Act. My question is, you know, if we already have these institutions, then spam should have been brought to a halt. Under POPIA, you can't sell lists, and it's clear that lists are being sold, especially as you can't get a clear answer as to where they got your details. Then the National Consumer Act calls for companies to ask you if they can call you. And I don't recall a robot ever giving me that option.
Absolutely right.
Also, Jerry, you need to consider that the DNC won't stop list selling. That falls under POPIA. So without additional resources, you know, it's just not viable to ensure, for example, that marketers are easily identified viable and check this government-mandated DNC on a regular basis. I mean, I use Truecaller for that, and so do many people I know.
So, Nicola, the challenge or the conundrum here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we've got to balance consumer protection on the one hand with, I guess, the rights of businesses to reach potential customers on the other. So are there lessons to be learned from other countries? And I think you referenced Spain, which has implemented more stringent measures against unsolicited calls. What has worked in that respect?
Well, there are a few countries that have implemented spam reduction measures. And in the US and Australia, for example, and then interestingly, Singapore, India, and South Korea, they've implemented laws to cut down on spam. And the important thing here, though, is that they're actually implemented properly and enforced. So in America, the Federal Communications Commission imposes heavy fines on illegal robocallers. Telecom carriers as well, like AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they all provide spam blocking features and apps. And that's resulted in a significant reduction in calls. Although, as we know, spammers are clever and evolve tactics. In India, there's a strict DND, do not disturb registry, and that allows users to block calls, but that is enforced. And then Telecom's Regulatory Authority of India also requires telecom operators to use blockchain technology to track and verify promotional messages and calls. Singapore, also DNC, and ID labeling, for example.
So, Nico, let me ask you this question then. Are there any sectors in South Africa, as a result of the work and research that you've done, that are worse transgressors than others?
I would say, at the moment, insurance companies in particular, and then also companies that either want to offer me more debt or help me get out of debt, assuming, you know, that I want either option. I don't know why they assume I do.
So is there any way then in which we can protect ourselves in the interim, given, as you've eloquently outlined, the limitations of current legal protection?
Well, there's a few things that are sort of in the pipeline in terms of AI there's no reason why we can't ask mobile networks to use machine learning to stop calls where they start, you know, at the dialing phase. And I'm not suggesting we go outside a Vodacom or an MTN and wave placards, but if, certainly if we put pressure on them, that might happen. And then there is AI. Look, Truecaller is an AI system, if you think about it. It works based on user input, which is also a form of machine learning. It takes that input and uses behavior to report callers spam. So it doesn't preemptively block, but it allows the end user to do that. In the future, it could be possible to have a virtual assistant answer calls and only forward those that are genuine, which block spam. And then they'd use natural language processing to detect robot calls and work out whether you should be taking that call at all. So, I mean, really, the best answer I can give here is to make the best use of available technology. You know, when you're upgrading your software or your phone, do your homework and see what tech you can run on the device or operating system to cut out the spam.
And part of it, as you're rightly suggesting, is the responsibility for combating that spam also does fall on us. We can't abrogate all responsibility. But, Nicola, you raised the interesting point about the telecom companies themselves and implementing solutions to reduce the incidence of spam calls. But the reality is, I guess, it's not really in their interests either to do that.
I would think, Jimmy, from a branding point of view, it might be. If, for example, a consumer identifies the bulk of calls as coming from one particular mobile network operator, then that branding would be, you know, it would be harmed, especially if that happens on more than one occasion. And it's, you're right, it's not in their interest to lose revenue, but I think branding is more important here. And they must have the technology, the machine learning to say, well, hey, this number is auto-dialing. And then it's switching to that number and it's coming from over here. And let's send them a warning letter.
But the reality of the situation, and this is the last question to you, is you rightly mentioned that technological advancements have made it easier for these spammers to mask identities. And I suspect, as with any type of incident like this, they're always going to be, or the technology is always going to be one or two steps ahead of us. We've just got to learn to live with it and take whatever precautions we can do ourselves. In other words, step up and do some work yourself.
Well, absolutely. It's the same as cyber attack. You know, those guys are always a step ahead in terms of penetrating networks and that sort of thing. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to put the steps in place. You've got to put the controls in place. And you've got to use what technology is available to your best advantage, because these guys are clearly also using tech.
Well, Nicola, I'm sure that our conversation tonight has resonated with many, many people, particularly around dinner time. I've noticed when those calls tend to come with a fair degree of alacrity. Nicola Mawson is a financial writer. She's a PR strategist and does some really useful work in that respect. I appreciate your time tonight, Nicola. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.